You're listening to Catholic Chicago on WNDZ 750 AM. During the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago brings you programs about the people, events, and issues that touch our lives. Welcome to Catholic Chicago.
Welcome to Mission of Love, the radio show for the Office for Evangelization and Missionary Discipleship. My name's Jennifer Delvaux, and I'm one of your co-hosts this morning, along with my coworker, Jose. Good morning, Jose.
Good morning, Jennifer. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm glad that summer is finally here.
You got that right. It's long overdue.
Yeah, and Jose and I are both back from vacation, so we're settling in. This is our first week back, and it's a little tough after a relaxing week, so we are excited about our show and kind of going along with that summer theme. We're going to be talking with two different groups and how they're using summer activities as a way to reach out to the broader community and to invite people into our parishes, invite people into a relationship with God. So I'm kind of excited for this.
I'm glad to hear what good things are happening over the summer.
Yeah, and it's an interesting set of opportunities that we have here. Our first guest is Michael Silhavy, who is a musician and director of music at one of our parishes, St. Mary in Riverside, and also works for GIA. Good morning, Michael.
Hello.
How are you doing this morning?
Pretty well.
So we were hoping you could tell us a little bit about this great opportunity that you have that's called, I believe, Brass in the Grass.
Yeah, well, we are having a concert series throughout the year at the church, and it just so happens that this year I think we're being a little bit more intentional and active about it. We've welcomed visiting choirs or instrumentalists before, but now we're trying to make this part of the parish offerings, a concert series, and in some ways we do kind of see it as a part of our mission, if not our evangelization. We're clear that a concert series might get one of our neighbors from the community into our church building for the first time. You know, no pressure, no expectations, but just how many times have we driven by a church building and never thought of going in? So just the simple act of opening our doors is a way to say who we are and say welcome. We believe it's a way to give something to the community. It's certainly an activity for our parishioners to participate in, not only through listening, but by volunteering or assisting or sponsoring. And we like to think that, you know, there might be some moment, whether it's a choral piece or a text or even some sort of outdoor concert that we're doing, that, you know, might give someone that moment of reflection or inspiration or contemplation to make them reflect on their faith. So I think we're seeing the way that we can use this as a way to make a connection with the people, make a connection to our church, make a connection to the greater church and Christ.
That's a really great way to approach this. And I love how you talked a bit about that almost reciprocity of not only, you know, trying to pull people in, but also to give back to the community. And, you know, the way you were talking about it reminds me a lot of another big summer program, the Theology on Tap series for young adults, where the whole concept is to be approachable and to throw open the doors of our churches or to even go out to local bars and so forth to try to show people a different side of Catholicism and of God's church.
Yeah, and, you know, there is that fine line between, I think, welcoming and advertising and recruiting. Mm-hmm. We want to be careful mm-hmm. that we're not trying to.
Right.
But, you know, if someone if someone really feels that music is an important part of worship, it might be a signal that, hey, here's a parish that takes music seriously, or other parishes might do with preaching or speaker series or service opportunities. So it's a charism that, or it's one charism that we'd like to add to the parish and say, in addition to worship and education and service, we also take the arts seriously. And, you know, I'm aware that so many of our parishioners are dedicated to performing works of charity or justice or compassion to, you know, uphold the dignity of people and try to make the world a better place. And, well, the arts can do that also. So I think it is fair to say that the arts and music and a concert series can be part of a mission of a church.
Definitely.
So where did this idea originate from?
Well, actually, you know, I'm kind of building on the legacy of some previous music directors. We have a lovely park across the street from our church, and for many years, this is where the Village of Riverside would come on July 3rd for a holiday concert. And it got so big that it got moved to a larger park near the Village Hall. And it was kind of funny how that large July 3rd concert was always seen as that thing that started at St. Mary's. And so we're just trying to bring it back home to our parish grounds. And and it's also a way for us to, I think, honor our musicians who play on weekends, for holy days, for weddings and funerals. It's also kind of fun for our parishioners or the community to see these people outside of the church space doing something else. They can play sacred music, but they can also play Broadway show tunes, and that's kind of fun just to give these folks a chance to show another side of themselves. So I'm happy that there had been this tradition of concerts at the church, and just kind of a reviving of that.
How do you see this as a space for people to, you know, kind of have those encounters with God and with one another? You know, do you see this being a way that, you know, you witness community being formed, or that people do start asking some of those questions that you sort of mentioned before?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's a community celebration, and if someone is just looking for a place to be with people, maybe it starts with a concert, and then maybe it starts with some activity, and then it starts with something else, and then maybe they show up in church on a Sunday morning, or even the fact that, you know, that night we'll have the church open for cooling off in the heat and mm-hmm. restrooms, yeah. And if someone just wanders into the church, boy, just to think that they might be able to sit in a pew for 45 seconds, have a little moment of reflection, you just don't know where that's going to lead. So
definitely.
It's just those unexpected encounters.
Yeah.
And it's not for those who don't know Christ or who are seeking, but even for folks who just need a little boost, the fact that this can help also.
Great. Well, let's come back and continue this conversation after we take a short break.
I send you out on a mission of love. I send you out on a mission of love. I send you out on a mission of love. And know that I am with you always until the end of the world.
Do you serve your parish as a cantor or extraordinary minister of Holy Communion? If so, Liturgy Training Publications is offering online formation this fall that will deepen your understanding and practice of your ministry. From the cantor's tune-up to preparing to serve as an extraordinary minister of Holy Communion, there is a workshop designed to meet your needs and enrich your ministerial experience. There are three options available for cantors and psalmists, and three offerings available for communion ministers. Take one or take all three. For dates and registration information, please visit ltp.org or call 1-800-933-1800. That's ltp.org or call 1-800-933-1800.
Hi, my name is Craig. I was homeless for 2 years, then I met Miss Ramona, a case manager at Catholic Charities. She found a place for me to live and is helping me with a resume and finding a job. I feel safe and away from the gun violence I know too well, having been a victim of it. The more I meet with Catholic Charities, the better I feel. They have changed my life. They're called Chicago's Good Samaritans, but to me, they are turnaround experts. Care to help? Visit CatholicCharities.net.
Have you checked out Chicago Catholic lately? Either in print or online, Chicago Catholic has informative and stimulating content, including news from the Archdiocese, beautiful photographs, and a thoughtful column by our publisher, Cardinal Blaise Supich. Editor Joyce DeRiga tells us about our current edition of Chicago Catholic.
Cardinal John Henry Newman will become a saint in October. We talk with a local mother whose miraculous cure paved the way for sainthood. Pope Francis has recognized a miracle by Archbishop Fulton Sheen that moves him closer to sainthood. And Catholic Theological Union celebrates its 50th year. We explore its history and future of educating men and women religious.
Subscribe now. Go to ChicagoCatholic.com or call 312-534-7777. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Chicago Catholic, a fresh approach to Catholic news.
Well, it's time for us to become people of spirit. It's time for
and welcome back. We're talking with Michael Sohebi from St. Mary's in Riverside about how they're using music and particularly concerts in the park or brass in the grass as a summer outreach into their community. Before the break, we were talking about how it's just a very, you know, we kind of use the terminology in our office, a soft entry point, you know, that it's not an intimidating a way to encounter the church, you know, which mm-hmm. can sometimes bring a lot of baggage for people who are really disconnected from faith and God and so forth. And I love what you were saying about just having the church open so that, you know, people could drift in, use the bathroom, enjoy the air conditioning now that summer has completely come full force. And, you know, as you said, spend 45 seconds sitting in that pew, you know, before heading back out to the rest of the concert. And I think that's a really great perspective to bring to this and not one that we always appreciate the importance of.
Mm-hmm.
So you sort of touched on something that I want to go back to before the break also, where you started talking about the role of music in evangelization. And I know that we sometimes talk about the fact that you can approach evangelization, some people say, by looking at truth, the good, and beauty. And I really heard in what you were saying how beauty can play a role in helping people to encounter God and to grow in that relationship. How do you see music and the arts playing into that?
Yeah, that's always fun for me because one of the things that my musician friends talk about is that music ministry and music is the only one of the church's ministries not doomed for extinction. When we get to heaven, there'll be no more finance councils or radio shows or fundraisers or faith formation. It's just going to be music, folks, singing with your harps. Well, no more than that. I'm kidding. But, you know, there's something playful about that notion. But also the profoundness that, the arts do provide those glimpses of beauty, that foretaste of heaven, and something that I'm really aware of in our Catholic tradition and those sacramental liturgical traditions, just I don't think folks fully appreciate how all of our senses are delighted in worship. And the things of the earth, we use water, fire, oil, plants, flowers, cloth, wheat, wood, stone, all those good things of the earth, all those, the goodness of creation, we use that in our worship, we honor it, and we call creation good, we call these mm-hmm. good, and they help us touch, if not always experience that goodness of God. And it's also good to remind ourselves that there's no one beauty that's better than another beauty. Right. Every culture, every people, every parish has its own beauty. And in the music world, whether that be music with a band or music by a six-part choir or a 60-voice choir or instruments, they're all beautiful. Every language is beautiful, every style is beautiful, and that's just a good reminder also that it's just not our style, but the many styles. In music, we also talk about the fact that music operates because it's many different lines building chords and harmonies and tensions that give way to resolution. So even the image of music is a beautiful one because it almost images the differences of the church that ultimately find resolution at the end, we hope. So that's a little fanciful, but musicians like to talk that way. So
definitely, definitely.
So, beauty, right? How have you seen the people that attend the concert be touched by the beauty of music? How has it touched them and brought them closer into their relationship with Christ?
Yeah, I think what's really important for me as a church musician, and even though I was just talking about the music, I think the texts that we sing or a text at a concert, of a sacred concert, to maybe introduce people to great Christian poets or authors, mm-hmm. whether they be contemporary or whether they be a more ancient or historical source, or sometimes in the arts we're allowed to say things a little bit more poetically than we might encounter in the liturgical texts. And, I find that very powerful when someone comments that they really liked the piece, and they'll say, and I'll ask, what did you like? And they'll talk about the text. And I think that's important, that combination of text and music, when music gives us a way also to hear texts in a different way. It might be mm-hmm. the most familiar setting of The Lord is My Shepherd or the Ave Maria, but maybe there was something about the music that allowed them to hear that most familiar text in a new way or in a different way, and that's very powerful.
I don't know if this has happened to you, but when you listen to music, sometimes it feels that the music can express much more feelings that you can ever put it into words with.
Exactly. Whether it's a football game or whether if we hit our thumb with a hammer, sometimes simple speech and words don't do enough. We put music to it, we shout, we sing, we cry. It's not regular speech. There's something about that power of using something yeah. else besides our speaking voice, and it just highlights and makes the texts come alive.
I like what you said in regards to introducing people to these different poets and writers, and you know, in evangelization, we talk about how evangelization's all about relationship with the person who's kind of, for lack of a better way of putting it, doing the evangelizing and, you know, introducing somebody else to how God's moving in their life. And it's also obviously that relationship with God. And I think that it might not be the default for somebody to realize how well music can be that entry point into, you know, when I know with my friends, you know, we just went through forming our playlists for our road trip and everything. And so we were talking about, oh, you've got to listen to this song. This means so much to me. Or, you know, that these songs and these beautiful pieces of music can open up a new way for people to have that way to talk about, this song made me think of this moment in my life and God is present, that it might not be part of the official program that's evangelizing, but as people are sitting around, you know, in their picnic blankets or lawn chairs listening, you never know what sort of conversations can be prompted as people have those just normal conversations that you have when you're talking with friends and family after an event like this.
Right. When someone says, boy, I've not heard that song since, or that was the wedding dance with my husband 50 years ago, and he died a few years ago, mm-hmm. and suddenly this widow is now sharing with another widow who's feeling the same thing, and these two women suddenly find something to talk about. You're right, those unexpected connections. Sure.
I really think when I was asking around and curious about what was going on in parishes that kind of fit this idea of how are our parishes using summer opportunities to engage in their community, to form community amongst their parishioners, and to reach out to the neighborhoods in which they're positioned, that this really struck me as a great opportunity because, you know, we hear a lot about parish picnics and, you know, the food festivals, which I have to say I've not gotten to enough of them yet, but that this was a very unique opportunity. I thought that it does give space for a lot of those conversations and with that grounding underneath them. And I know from overhearing Jose playing music while he's trying to get work done, and I know I'll often have my earbuds in, this was something that I think spoke to both of us in particular.
And so many parishes do have concert series, and once again, we weren't inventing anything new. We were simply taking what was there and just saying, wait a second, this can also become an opportunity for this. Of course, even within the Renew My Church grouping, this is another way for us to invite the three parishes in our
Perfect.
Grouping, once again, to get to know us better and learn who we are. And it's out there many places, and I think it would be great if more places realized, this is being done already, and how can you use it for evangelization and mission? So.
Do you happen to have a story for us about somebody that came to the concert and was moved and how it might have changed their life or brought them closer to Christ or at least more open to learning a little bit more about what we believe in?
Yeah, actually, I do. you know, one of my... let's say this... I'm aware of a singer who had once sung in his youth and had been away from the church for a while. And, kind of lukewarm. And he would faithfully come with his wife to church on Sundays. And, whether it was the music we were singing or maybe some little laughter or reverence or maybe something that we would have displayed in some moments as we were rehearsing before Mass or something, something made him say, you know, maybe I should try singing again. And now that wasn't a concert, that was with the church mm-hmm. choir, but still, you know, there was a wonderful story of music bringing that person in. And I really, and part of the concert series hope would be that, you know, maybe there is some trumpet player who's coming to this concert and saying, hey, look at all these trumpet players and trombone players, and boy, I wonder if there's room for me to play at St. Mary's. And so that kind of is a hope, but I think every ministry, every group has those stories that they become the entry point to get someone reconnected with the church, with the faith.
And that's exactly what our office talks about all the time, is creating what we call a culture of evangelization. And it's, you know, not that everyone starts every conversation with, you know, opening up the gospel message, but rather that everyone within our community is primed to share the joy that being a person of faith can bring, to welcome people and to be hospitable. And it sounds like the community that you've created amongst your musicians really exemplifies that.
We try, yes. Hospitality is really the first ministry, and doors need to be open and arms need to be extended, and welcome is the most important thing we can do. So even more than singing right notes or, you know, we just need to be a welcoming group. So
do you have any information for our listeners out there, or anything they can visit to get more information about the Brass in the Grass?
Yeah, I believe our parish website is stmaryriverside.org. Our concert is Monday, July 29th at 7 o'clock, right across the street from St. Mary Church in Riverside. We're also having an old-fashioned ice cream social.
Ooh.
And you would be willing, you would be able to bring your picnic baskets, and if you want to have a dinner on the lawn, that's just fine with us. And In case of bad weather, we'll go in the church, and maybe we won't do Sousa marches and things like that in the church, but we'll adapt the repertoire a little bit if it's a church concert. Of course, it's free. If you want to leave a donation, we're happy. But Monday, July 29th, 7 p.m. in Riverside at St. Mary Church.
Well, that definitely sounds exciting, and that's not too far from where I live, and you said the magic words of ice cream. So
yep.
if it continues to be hot, that sounds like a perfect mix of great music and ice cream sundaes. So again, to make sure our listeners heard that, that's St. Mary's in Riverside on Monday, July 29th at 7 p.m. Any last thoughts for us, Michael, that maybe you didn't get a chance to share that you'd like to?
No, I'm grateful for the chance to talk about how music can be seen as a tool of welcome and evangelization and mission. I'm grateful for the chance to, you know, show my passion and belief in this, and I encourage other musicians and parishes to do the same.
Well, we really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us and to share how your parish is going to be reaching out to your community this summer. And after the break, we'll come back with another exciting opportunity.
Ever think of donating your car? You can donate a car that you no longer need to Catholic Charities. The donation will help needy people throughout Cook and Lake Counties. Donating your car is easy. Call us at 877-786-GIVE from anywhere in the country. That's 877-786-4483. Pickup is free. We do the paperwork and you get a tax deduction. Catholic Charities accepts cars, trucks, vans, motorcycles, or boats in almost any condition. No need to pay hefty repair bills. Avoid the hassle of selling. Calls taken 7 days a week at 877-786-GIVE. That's 877-786-4483. Or go online to CatholicCharities.net.
The Cemetery Ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection. There are 44 Archdiocese of Chicago Catholic cemeteries willing to help you in your time of loss. Call 708-449-6100 or visit CatholicCemeteriesChicago.org. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
You're listening to Catholic Chicago on WNDZ 750 AM. Every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, events, and issues that touch our lives. Thanks for letting us be part of your morning. Now again, Catholic Chicago.
Welcome back. This is Jen Delville, a coordinator in the Office for Evangelization Missionary Discipleship, one of your co-hosts, and I'm here with
Jose Coronel.
We are talking about ways that our communities are utilizing the beautiful summer weather that we're finally experiencing and reaching out into the broader community to share the good news of the gospel and to build that sense of community and belonging in our neighborhoods and parishes.
And this morning, we continue our second part of our show with Cecilia Blonska. And she is in charge of the music ministry and singing group, a longtime participant. Cecilia is a very well known in the Polish community and associated with by many with a pilgrimage to Merrillville. And good morning, Cecilia. How are you?
Everyone, and good morning, guys. First of all, I would like to thank you for inviting me for this program, and I would like to say that English is my second language, so if I say something inappropriate, please correct me. So it will be a very interesting moment. But thank you again. So how can I help you?
Well, Cecilia, can you tell us a little bit about the pilgrimage to Merrillville? How did it begin? And yeah, let's start there.
I can tell about myself. I am in this pilgrimage over 30 years when I came to the United States a long time ago. And of course, everybody looking for friendship and first of all, praying to the God about this. And this pilgrimage is always 35 years have this the journey. And the beginning was like 40 people. A couple of people started this and walking from Chicago to Merville, Indiana, to Our Lady of Częstochowa. And then every year became more and more. Right now, is after 35 years, it's like 7,000 people walking in one group. Wow. So you guys familiar with this because East Chicago has a lot of that kind of walking or running events.
Mm-hmm.
But we have something in common that we walk because we want to show our God, our Holy Mary, that we love her, we admire her. So the 7,000 people walking from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. and the evening they have a beautiful mass, bilingual many times because we have we invite the bishops from Chicago area and other. At other cities too. So, and then you can imagine 7,000 people and then 10,000 people on the mass.
Wow.
So this is like the journey which Polish community do. But because our children, most of them, it's like half of people on this pilgrimage born already in America, so they are American. So we have this bilingual right now. So we pray in Polish and English. We sing in Polish and English, so we the kids can understand more what they're talking. We have a homily in English, so you can if you go there with us, so you can find the space for yourself too.
Wonderful.
So it's the shortly. I'm of course a little nervous, and thank you for being so patient. But what I want to say that nobody forced us to do this.
Right.
If you love your mother, you want to do something for her and show her respect. And we are doing the same purpose. So many people have many intention, like they go to the church the same. But about Polish youth communities, like they looking what their parents do, and they walk with whole family. They always work with whole family.
That's a
yes.
No, that's a really wonderful thing to see. You know that it is very challenging for families today, with all of the pressures of school and work and society. So, having this opportunity every summer, in particular, in addition to I know the many other things that the Polish community does in prayer and worship and parish life together, I was really.
You're right, Mrs. Jenny, but imagine if your kids want to show the love for your girlfriend, or even you can imagine when your husband tried to show your love to you, so he can do everything. He can walk all day to bring you flowers and say, "Hi, I love you, will you marry me?" So the same. The kids want to do something which if you tell them, you can do this. You can or you can't.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, but we wanted to do. We want to show the kids that if you can do this, so your life will be different.
And I think a wonderful part of what I heard you say, too, is that when you came here for the first time, this was an opportunity for you to form friendship and to find people that you felt a sense of belonging with. And I know that our office talks a lot about how important that is, and that, you know, today, you know, you came over yourself, but to our city, we have so many young people that moved to the city after college or for a new job a couple years into, you know, adulthood, and they don't have that community, and they don't have, you know, extended parents and aunts and uncles. So, you know, an opportunity like this, I think, is a really special way to reach out and to show, you know, that sense of welcome and family that people of faith can offer.
It's kind of true, but the best way to show this pilgrimage is the youth show themselves.
Right.
For example, one of our girl who sing in our choir, one of the guy from the school fell in love with her. He doesn't speak Polish at all, but he played beautiful on the violin, and he came to be with her. 2 days, he doesn't understand nothing. It was like 10 years ago, so we even didn't have a bilingual prayer. But he wants to be for her. So we must believe in our kids that, hey, you want to do something more, do something different. Go to different community, find the different people who praying, so they are have a kind of, they are ambitious people. So find someone different. Because easy to find in the same language, you know, anything, Spanish or American, or just find something, do something different, go to different community, be open for different community, show what they, how they praying, how they people look like, so what their tradition. So this is amazing. This is opportunity for our youth to come to our community too and be with us.
I do really appreciate that. I think that's a beautiful point to make. We have such a rich diversity in the Catholic faith communities throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. We're going to take a short commercial break, and we'll come right back and continue our conversation.
Okay.
I send you out on a mission of love.
We invite you to watch Catholic Chicago this weekend, featuring a conversation with Cardinal Blaise Cupich and video highlights from across the Archdiocese. Here's host Todd Williamson.
We'll talk to Cardinal Blaise Cupich about the recently passed abortion legislation in Illinois. We'll hear from Father Greg Boyle, whose mission is to confront the culture of violence. And we'll introduce you to the newly ordained priests for the Archdiocese of Chicago.
Watch Catholic Chicago Friday at 7 p.m. on Chicago Loop Cable, Channel 25, and Sunday afternoon at 3 on the Comcast Network, Channel 100.
This is Monsignor Michael Boland for the Voice of Catholic Charities. Every 30 seconds, someone comes to Catholic Charities for help. When that help includes legal needs, our Legal Assistance Department offers a wide range of services to give hope and help to vulnerable clients in need. Whether it's a dispute with a landlord, a concern about possibly being the victim of a scam, or an issue regarding family law, clients can feel alone in the complex legal system if they're unable to afford an attorney. Our volunteer attorneys answer our legal advice line, offer one-hour consultations in their areas of expertise, and conduct legal seminars that help low-income individuals. These volunteer attorneys come when their schedules permit, and they often tell us they are grateful for the opportunity to share what they know with someone in need. If you are an attorney and would like to learn more about this volunteer program, please call 312-948-6821. That's 312-648-6821. Thank you for considering joining this wonderful group of Good Samaritans.
Welcome back to A Mission of Love. My name is Jose Coronel, and I am here with
Jennifer Delgado.
And with Cecilia as well on the phone with us today. We are talking a little bit about a pilgrimage that is happening, that's bilingual, Polish and English. I'm sorry, I almost said Spanish, but I know it's Polish and English.
And we will invite the Spanish people, so we'll be more of us, of course.
Yes. And, you know, actually, pilgrimages are a very traditional part of the Spanish-speaking community as well. So when I was looking at a little bit of information for the pilgrimage, I saw that it's 33 miles total. I was like, wow. Can you tell what happens within those 33 miles?
The people are prepared for this stuff. We have an ambulance. We have a full food, drinks, everything, and everything is for free. So, of course, when you put some money from the beginning, but it's not much money. But this is easy. This is easy. Imagine if under 33 miles, you met someone who changed your life, mm-hmm. or who says yes. I will be with you. So just see the end. The 33 miles is nothing for those people who want to change something in their life.
So what do you do as you're walking in with these 33 miles?
Most of the stuff we singing, praying the rosary, and have a conference and talking to each other, you know, while we have a chance, to meet some new friends, everything, you know, just whatever you do with when you take your mom on the hands and go to the park. You can talk to your mom, you can talk to your friends, and you have a time to pray. Like if your children play with someone else, you have a time to pray. You have a time to talk to others. So we are doing the same.
So it sounds
we pray. We are walking to our mother, so we try to be with her and with us.
It sounds like it's also a good time to just strengthen our family bonds as well, as we talk with our parents as well.
Exactly. this is the way that we have a chance to help each other, to show each other how much we care. It's nothing special, but in other hands, it's very special because You can go if you don't have to believe with nothing. You just want to do something and meet someone who changed your life. And when you go with this purpose and you believe that something can happen in your life, so will be, because we have so many situations with youth people who find the love in their life and the pilgrimage, and they find something different view on their life and the businesses, everything. Mm-hmm. They go, the people who are rich and poor, everyone.
So as you're walking towards Merrillville, how do the different communities welcome you as you walk through them?
From the beginning, they were surprised. Right now, they are praying with us. They are give us the water. Sometimes they welcome. They walk on the street and welcome us. It's amazing. And we always promise them that wherever they need it, we brought to our mother their prayers, to their wishes, their dreams. So people are very open. We never ever have any accident which was against our pilgrimage. So this was so surprised that the mm-hmm. God is walking with us all the time.
So it's a two-day pilgrimage, right? And
yes.
Maybe we can talk a little bit more when we come back from break. No. We can still keep. Okay.
Yeah.
So since it is a two-day pilgrimage, so what happens at night? Do you guys sleep or do you guys keep walking? How do you?
No, at night we have a beautiful mass outside of the in Munster, Indiana, and the big field. And youth praying and singing, and it's amazing. People doesn't want to go to sleep. They just want to sit down or lay down on the grass, like in like a big field, and they pray, they singing, they look at the sky, and they feel that God touched them by the air, touched them by the friend's hand. This is amazing. And this is the night when everybody wants to come, even if people who doesn't walk all day, so they come only for this night. We have a mass from 8 o'clock starts at the spring, and we have a mass in bilingual mass, most of all in English, but and we sing in two languages. But the music is like, you have a beautiful music on your station. So even our community doesn't understand something, they love the music.
Wonderful.
They love the music. Music is like a big hand between you and God.
So thank you. We'll gonna take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll pick up from where we left off.
On a mission of love, I send you out. On a mission of love, I send you out. On a mission of love, and know that I am with you always, until the end of the world.
Do you serve your parish as a cantor or extraordinary minister of Holy Communion? If so, Liturgy Training Publications is offering online formation this fall that will deepen your understanding and practice of your ministry. From the cantor's tune-up to preparing to serve as an extraordinary minister of Holy Communion, there is a workshop designed to meet your needs and enrich your ministerial experience. There are 3 options available for cantors and psalmists, and 3 offerings available for communion ministers. Take one or take all 3. For dates and registration information, please visit ltp.org or call 1-800-933-1800. That's ltp.org. or call 1-800-933-1800.
Have you checked out Chicago Catholic lately? Either in print or online, Chicago Catholic has informative and stimulating content, including news from the Archdiocese, beautiful photographs, and a thoughtful column by our publisher, Cardinal Blaise Supich. Editor Joyce DeRiga tells us about our current edition of Chicago Catholic.
Cardinal John Henry Newman will become a saint in October. we talk with a local mother whose miraculous cure paved the way for sainthood. Pope Francis has recognized a miracle by Archbishop Fulton Sheen that moves him closer to sainthood. And Catholic Theological Union celebrates its 50th year. We explore its history and future of educating men and women religious.
Subscribe now. Go to ChicagoCatholic.com or call 312-534-7777. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Chicago Catholic, a fresh approach to Catholic news.
To become people of spirit, it's time for us to become people of love.
Welcome back. I'm Jen Delvo from the Office for Evangelization here with
Jose Coronel.
And our guest on the phone is Cecilia, who's been telling us all about this absolutely fantastic pilgrimage that takes place from here in the city with a 33-mile walk to Maryville, Indiana. And Cecilia, I've been listening particularly in that last segment as you talked about this, and it's just bringing back all these wonderful memories from when I went on as a college student and then led groups of high school and young adults on pilgrimages for World Youth Day. You know, as you were talking about praying and conversation and people bringing their friends and family, you know, that's so much a part of those experiences. And then that overnight vigil that would be leading into the Mass with the Pope at World Youth Day is always nobody's sleeping, everybody's, you know, singing and playing games and talking and praying. And it's just such a wonderful presence of, you know, the joy and the energy that people can bring when they gather in faith. It's exciting to hear that there's something local like that.
Someone who's been in Ravinia, Chicago. So something like this, mm-hmm. maybe except without alcohol.
good distinction to
so
make, yes.
We have a food there because this is the time when we rest. Of course, we didn't eat during the Mass, but after when we're singing, people can you know, eat and mm-hmm. a little enjoy the rest of the time. But this is everything. So you can find something unusual. And you can understand, and this is stuff for free because Ravinia is paying. This is stuff for free. People can come and walk. Of course, if they during the pilgrimage, so they must be with us and support some food. But it's not much money. But at the Mass and during the evening time, everything is for free. Just is amazing time to come and spend time with your friends and with the mother, which you're supposed to do something for her, mm-hmm. like your real mother. If you believe in God, if you stop, even if you're confused, what is religion? What is if it makes sense? Just to go to some different community, check why they believe, who are there, and this is the moment when you can find again. The sense of the life, the sense of the music, the sense of the talking to God.
Is there...
If you stop to talk to your mother, you know, so life is changing the same. When you start to talk to your mother or just ask about something or spend time with her, if you don't have, if you don't know what to do at home, so just try to help her clean it or cook with her. So the same, when you don't know what to talk to God, just try to walk with the God. Try to walk with the children of God, people around. Don't think, just be with them. Just be with your mother. And then you will find the sentence, even one sentence, that you, I love you, I want to be with you, I want to serve you.
I think that's a really great reminder. You know, so often when we talk about evangelization, you know, and we kind of touched on this with our previous guest too, people think that means, you know, you have to stand up on a soapbox and preach, or you have to try to argue people into the faith. But sometimes evangelization is that presence, you know, as you're saying, you know, just letting people have the space to listen, to, you know, be able to just be,
absolutely.
You know, and that can be challenging. I think sometimes as people who are so passionate about our faith, you know, that we want to push harder, and that the Holy Spirit works at the pace that the Holy Spirit wants to work. And this sounds like a wonderful opportunity for people to, no matter where they are, whether they've never walked into the door of a church, or maybe they're looking for something but they don't know what that something is, or they are someone with great devotion to Our Lady of Częstochowa and deep, deep faith and lived Catholic worship. But I love how diverse of an opportunity this sounds to be.
That I would like to, I have a message for you guys, for every people who look. Doesn't matter if you how many years you have. You're always the child for your mother. Just don't give up. Go to another opportunist to see how the people pray, how people what people are doing. You know, meet the new culture, new people. Do something outside of your house, but not what you know. Go with the stuff which you didn't know, which can make you a lot of surprise. Everything is safe. We have a police, we have everything. Nothing,
wonderful.
Never, ever happened any accident there.
Good. That'll make any parents who want to come along with their children feel safe. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
we only have...
Don't leave them alone.
No. Of course not. We only have a minute or two left, Cecilia. Is there a way that if somebody's interested, they could find out more information on how to register or get any questions answered?
Yes. The find in Our Lady of Częstochowa in Merville, Indiana. It's Salvatorian's Fathers. So like Polish pilgrimage on internet in Chicago to Indiana. You can find this, or I can give you the phone number to... Salvatorian's Fathers.
Well, you know what? I think we can also make sure that we put the information out on some of our social media feeds. And so if people also will have that information on our offices, Facebook and Twitter accounts to help people find it. But it's St. Mary's in Merrillville, Indiana. And then people can also look for the Polish Catholic pilgrimage in the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think most people are pretty comfortable with Googling things. So thank you so much, Cecilia. This has been a delight to talk with you and to hear about this wonderful opportunity. You know, we've had now two great conversations about parishes and organizations that are using the summer opportunity to creatively reach out to the community to share God's joy and music and prayer and to offer people a way to encounter God and to come into community. So I hope that whatever you, our listeners, are doing this summer, that you find that joy and that grace. And any closing thoughts, Jose?
Our Lady of Częstochowa, pray for us.
Wonderful.
Amen.
Well, we thank you again, Cecilia, for
taking
the time to talk with us today. And that if any of our parishes do have exciting things that they're doing and they'd like to share that good news, you can tag us on our social media accounts, and our coworker Viviana would love to be able to retweet or to share that on Instagram. And so keep an eye out at evangelizechicago.org, and we look forward to talking with you soon. Take care and
God bless. Thank you so much again. Thank you. God bless you guys.
Later.
Join us every Monday through Friday at this time for Catholic Chicago. You can stream our programs live or listen to past programs by visiting our website, archchicago.org, and clicking on Radio TV. And please connect with Catholic Chicago on social media.
I